Greetings and welcome to the latest edition of the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Martin, and I'm happy to have you with me today. For this week's episode, I am joined by author and musician Daniel Murtaugh, and he wrote an interesting little book that he sent my way. It's actually an alphabet book, and it's called Nothing, From A to Z. And we had a nice conversation. It was actually last week on Monday, the day that Facebook was down. Oh my goodness. And we spent about an hour and a half talking about nothing. And that's the conversation that I'm bringing to you today after we get to a few quick announcements. First of all, I do not have anybody to thank at the moment for making a contribution to the podcast. I'm recording this a little bit early in the week because my mom's coming for a visit. In a day or two here, and she's going to be around for the weekend, and so I'm going to be hanging with mom, doing the family thing. Normally, I put these together, you know, just a day or two before I release them so that everything is up to date, but I'm recording this early now. So anyway, of course, if you do want to support this podcast, you can stop by my personal webpage, martinball.net, use the PayPal link, join up over at Patreon. And also, I think both of those links are working at the Entheogenic Evolution page, which is just entheogenic.podomatic.com. So there's always that possibility as well. Just to let you know, coming up, I'm going to be interviewing Dan Schmidt from Awakening the World Foundation and also creator of the Samadhi films, which perhaps you have seen part one and two of, and part three is coming. Going to be talking to him actually tomorrow and really looking forward to that and trying to fit in consuming a few more of his materials before we actually get to our conversation. Also, just want to let you, the podcast listening audience, know that I have just made some much-needed updates to my personal art webpage, which is www.fractalimagination.com. It's been a while since I've updated the art over there and also found some glitches in the mobile version and changed some things up. So anyway, if you want to go over and check out some of my art and videos with the art and music and all that kind of stuff, it's all current and up to date over my art webpage. Again, that's fractalimagination.com if you want to go take a look. I invite you to do so. I don't know who's going to be coming up after Dan, but we'll have a little bit more of Orbi's vision after this conversation with Daniel. That'll be next week, and then Dan Schmidt will come up after that, and then who knows who's coming after that. I might need to take a break at some point. I've actually been doing more interviews than I've done in a long time here on the podcast, and sometimes it can be a little daunting to find people, read their books, consume their materials, get everything ready. So, you know, I'm just putting that out there. Might be taking a break for a little bit somewhere in there. Who knows? I enjoy doing this, but it does take a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. So we will see. Anyway, thanks for listening. As always, for those of you who have supported the podcast at any time in the past, thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Hope everybody is doing well wherever you are with whatever's going on in your life. And please sit down, enjoy. Here's a conversation about absolutely nothing. But trust me, there's words in there. So, you know, there's stuff to listen to. Okay. All right. Talk to you next week. Bye.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right today. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here with you, man.
Yeah. Well, I think we can have a fun conversation today talking about nothing.
Yeah. Right. Who'd have thunk, right?
Yeah. So let's just sit here and let's just be silent for just a while. Yeah, no, I don't buy any of that. I don't buy any of that.
No, we can absolutely talk about it, you know, but I mean, it's a little pointless, though. We can absolutely say that it's somewhat pointless, I guess.
Well, sweet. Let's have an absolutely pointless conversation about
beautiful
nothing. But first, let's talk some stuff.
Right, down.
Okay. let me just get your last name correct. Murtaugh or Murtaugh?
Correct, yeah.
Murtaugh.
It's Murtaugh, yeah, like Lethal Weapon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's an easy way to remember it, you know.
And where are you joining me from? Where are you at?
Utah.
Utah. Where in Utah?
Yeah. Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You born and raised there, or you end up
there?
Yeah,
I was born and raised up over the mountains in Heber, which is just about an hour away from Salt Lake, and it was a tiny little town. You know, everybody knows everybody kind of place. And I grew up mostly there. We moved down here for a couple years when I was younger, and then we moved back up to Heber, and I kind of finished growing up there, and then moved down here when I was an adult.
Yeah, how do you like it?
Yeah, it's good. I dig it a lot. I mean, it's a definitely a unique place. You know, a lot of people would think Salt Lake's sort of, you know, specifically religiously oriented, I suppose you could say, but it's not at all. It's actually a kind of hodgepodge of all sorts of cultures and people, and it's pretty cool. I mean, there's, you know, you get your occasional, you know, fun people, I suppose you could say, but you know, it's, for the most part, I love living here.
Yeah, your mountains look awesome over there, man. You know, I've flown in and out of Salt Lake City a number of times. Just the mountains just look spectacular. You know, flying over, it's like, I'd like to go to that ridge and that valley right there. That looks really sweet. I'd like to be up in there. And then actually flying over the Salt Lake, it's really beautiful. I'd love to be able to spend more time there with my camera and, you know, just fart around and take pictures of stuff, because it's pretty cool.
For sure. Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I definitely recommend, I mean, I know you love doing photography and kind of messing with the images and stuff. You could definitely get some amazing, amazing shots here. So I recommend, you know, taking a trip out here sometime.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got a bunch of family out there. My dad's side of the family is mostly Mormon, pretty much except for my dad and his brothers. They left the Mormon religion, or the Church of Latter-day Saints, however we want to call it.
Right. Yeah. No, I guess they've gotten a little huffy about that recently, right?
Yeah. But I guess I probably have like a ton of relatives who live in Salt Lake City, but I don't even know them. But
yeah, fair.
Yeah, they're fair. Out there.
I have handfuls of people. I actually have family that lives up in Salem, up by you, sort of.
Oh yeah.
Well, I guess it's a little farther north for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, well, within an easy drive. I mean, Oregon's not all that
definitely.
Big. Only about 5.5 hours from one end to the other, something like
for
that.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Because, you know,
Utah's kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in California, and the idea of like, well, I'm just going to drive to Northern California. It's like, okay, do I have 2 days? You
know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll go from LA to Sacramento. It'll be easy. It's like, wait, I don't know if you realize the drive there.
yeah. You know, it just makes me think of some people I was in touch with a long time ago, and they lived in Europe, and they're like, well, yeah, we're gonna fly into LA, and then maybe we'll just drive up to Ashland to see you. And it's like, okay, so you're from Europe and you're used to just like going from one country to the next, and it's just a really short drive, but you don't understand, like, LA and Ashland are nowhere near each other.
Yeah, that's like a couple of day trip.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so Daniel, am I seeing correctly that you have a shirt for your book?
It's actually not for the book. It's just you'll appreciate it, I think.
I love jokes about non-duality because no one gets them.
I had a buddy made it for me. I thought it was pretty cool.
That's pretty clever. I thought I was being clever when I made a post one time that said, like, non-dualists of the world unite, you know. Because, you know, as you write about in your book, okay, so we're talking about non-duality today. We're talking about nothingness.
Yeah.
And so just your book, I mean, I'll let you tell about the book, but I actually read through the book, and then I listened to the video on it today.
Oh, cool.
that scrolls through the book.
It's
an alphabet book. It's actually that's a neat idea. And so I want to ask you all about that. But
cool,
in there, I really like the line. I don't remember the exact wording, but the idea is, non-duality or unity is not something that can be achieved.
Right.
Which
I really
dig that.
Yeah.
Which is the irony of, you know, my statement, non-dualists of the world unite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the whole point, right, is that it's that's already the way things are. So
that's
there's
the case already. Yeah. Like, so how can you patch? I like to say, how can you patch a hole that's not there?
Yeah.
You know, like if there's a hole in the tire, right, then you need to patch the hole. But if you don't have a flat, then like, why patch a hole? You know? So it's like, yeah, a lot of people are like, okay, so, but like, what is the like non-dual-y thing that I'm like looking for? It's like, well, that's like the problem. Yeah. You're like looking for it.
Right. And it kind of highlights the difference between, I guess, what I would call maybe just naturalistic non-duality, or just understanding, look, that's just the nature of reality. It's the nature of being, versus what we might be able to call like sentimental non-duality, which is actually something that really kind of rubs me the wrong way of where people are like, oh, well, let's all just get together and unite and just love each other. And right. It's like, but that's not actually non-duality. That's human sentimentality.
Right. And that's different. That's somebody's version of non-duality, right? Which is like, that's dualism, right? Like that's like what like your version is means like it's a different version than another version. So it couldn't possibly be non-dual because of that.
Right. Right. You know, it's sort of these little brain breakers. And I love, the little disclaimers you have at the beginning of the book. But
oh, yeah.
We'll talk about the book, but I want to hear more about you, first of all. And actually,
yeah, what's
I'll,
up?
I'll introduce you in the way of saying that I just posted on Facebook, like, hey, who wants to come on for an interview? And then you sent me a link to your book. And, I checked it out. And I was like, this is really cool. You know, it's not specifically about psychedelics or entheogens or anything, but I really like the book, you know.
I appreciate that. That's really cool to hear. You know, I can't take credit for writing it, though, to be completely real. You know, I mean, like, it just kind of was written.
Yeah.
And I was there for it. But like, that was, you know, that's sort of, if you read the book, that'll make a bit of sense, you know, and it is free. As you said, you know, it's on, I try to make it available to everybody. You know, I have hard copies that are for sale, you know, but like, I try to convince people that you don't really need a hard copy. You just kind of need to soak in the info.
Yeah.
And it's free, you know, and I try to make it available so that, you know, everybody can sort of digest it how they want. Like I've got a PDF, I've got the online sort of read through, you know, so that you can sort of read along if you'd like. And it's me reading it, you know, which I love that you narrate all your books. That's so great, because it's like, then you can give the emotion that's part of the book, you know, and that's part of like art, right? Is infusing yourself into your art, as you know. I mean, you're a musician. I'm also a musician, and you know, I love that stuff, and it's great.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let's hear a little bit more about you and hear about art and music and how a bearded fellow in Salt Lake City, how he got into non-duality. So. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your story and about who you are. Who is this no one who wrote this book that's written by you? And by you, I mean
you, the
listeners. Yeah.
The listener. Yeah, that's absolutely it, you know. And it's like that's the message that's so difficult to get across, right? Which is funny because it's such an easy and simple message, but it's not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was born and raised in Heber. I grew up kind of was down here. Decided to start doing my music thing a little bit heavier down in Salt Lake because there's a bigger scene down here.
What do you
and
play?
I met a lot of people. I play all sorts of stuff, actually. I have a solo project out there. I'm in a rock band called Betty Hates Everything.
Oh, she sure does. I talk to her and she tells me nothing but hate.
She surely does. It's funny, too, because we write about, like, the older songs were written by our old singer who actually passed away a couple years ago. Just after I joined the band, it was kind of an interesting time too, because it was actually right around the same time that I sort of was like, oh shit, I'm God. I'm sorry. I don't know if we can swear on.
Oh, I swear all the time. This is not a problem.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I've got potty mouth.
Okay. Perfect. But yeah, I was like, you know, and that was, I was super thankful that I sort of like had realized what I realized before it happened, because I think I would have taken it a lot differently had I not, you know. And hold on.
Let's stick with that for a moment. So
yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Tell people what you mean by that, because I do think that non-duality does change your relationship to death.
Absolutely.
Both personally and for others. So tell us a little bit more about what that means for you.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, well, first off, when you realize that everything is nothing, right? You realize that nothing can actually not die. I know that's kind of weird to say, and you have to kind of hear the nuance in the way I said it, but like nothing, the thing of nothing, quote unquote, can't die, right? So like when you realize that that's what you are, you realize death is just sort of an idea. It's not really anything but sort of something we've talked about, and like can like sort of see how that story would work on a physical level. But like when you realize that like nothing isn't physical as well, and that means everything also isn't physical, that sort of the whole story just implodes on itself. And that sort of happened. So I was in my kitchen one day, and I was actually, you are actually, I think, part of my sort of like, oh my God. Yeah, no, that's like, and it was just like hit me, you know. But I had been listening to Leo with Actualized.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his years and years. It was back in 2016. And he was talking about, you know, he did one of his meditations of the experience of no self, right? And I was like, okay. And as soon as I did that, I was like, oh, okay, wait a second. Like, oh, I'm just awareness. Like, wait a second. That's a trippy, like, wait a second. And I like couldn't get it out of my head, right? Like, that's all that I would wake up and I was just like, I'm not Daniel. I'm just awareness. That's like so crazy. What the hell? And then in my kitchen on Christmas Eve of 2016, I turned around and like physically all of a sudden was like, not me. I was nothing. I was like, oh my God, that's right. And it wasn't like I learned something new either. That's something I think is important, is you don't learn something new. You like almost have this like, I don't even want to call it remembering because it's not even quite accurate. It's like a dropping almost of all of that. And it's just like, oh yeah, that's what's left. That's of course what I am. I've always been that, like, duh. It's like it's such a duh moment, but it's also such an aha moment for the brain of this, the conditioning of this, right? It's just like, wait a second. And that just, I mean, I was offered sort of with this like decision, like, okay, man, like you can either keep living like this bullshit way or like accept that this is actually like the case. And I was like, wow, like, okay. Like, and it was just like, and I just felt like just this huge hug from the universe being like, welcome back. You know, it was like, I'm trying to put words into something that it's impossible to actually put words to, right? But it's really like that. And I feel like when you realize that like the universe as a whole is everything as a whole, and that's what you are, and that's what I am, and that's what everything is, then nothing actually dies. Like everything's just alive all the time, forever.
Yeah. And it's this kind of weird position to come from, because of course what you are not saying is that physical beings don't die. You're not saying that.
No,
and
not at all.
You're not saying that everyone is eternally immortal, because that's still identified with the ego and the perspective and the individuated sense of self, but that which is this nothing, because we can't describe it as a thing. Because if it was a thing, then it would exist within the nothing.
Right. Right. So exactly.
We've got the nothing.
But all these layers and stuff, it's crazy.
But that nothingness does not die. And if our true awareness and identity is that nothingness, then of course it doesn't come from anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere, right? But it's not a personalized idea, like, oh, well, so I'm never going to die. Well, the person known as Daniel, he's going to die. person known as Martin, he's going to die. Sure. Your band members are going to die. Your family members are going to die. Yep. They're all going to die.
Everything around me. I mean, this whole studio, everything around me is going to crumble and be gone at some point.
Yeah.
But I will be there. And I don't mean Daniel.
Yeah.
I mean nothing. And nothing is saying I, right? And that's like, that's the silly sort of language barrier, right?
Right. And even the pronouns, right? In dealing with the word I, sometimes we have to specify, you know, well, am I talking about I, Martin, I, Daniel, or am I talking about I, that which is I?
Right.
And then when I say you, do I mean the you that is me or the you that is distinctly thinking of itself as being you, right? I love the play with the pronouns. And, you know, I did the same thing with my little book, God's Handbook for Operating Human Vehicles.
I love that book. I love it.
Oh,
it's
thank
so
you.
Good. Yeah. Absolutely.
I use the same little trick. It's like, you wrote this to yourself. You just don't remember doing that, but you actually wrote this, you know, to kind of drive home that point. And so there is room to sort of be playful with language. And I think that that's what's so delicious about your book is that you actually go through the alphabet. So you're playing with language to express the inexpressible. Yeah.
But I mean, it's literally, go ahead.
I just want to say, I want to talk more about music before we get into the book, though. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
With, Betty Hates Everything. Like, what's the music style? Like, what do you guys play?
So Betty Hates Everything is hard rock. And we're just now about to release a 4-song EP. That's sort of, Betty's sort of my, like, my surface level outlet, I suppose. I like to sort of like let out all my sort of thoughts about, I suppose, more about the physical with that.
Yeah.
But I have another project that's called The Never Ever, that me and my buddy Jordan, who also is a fan of yours, he's in the project with me as well, and my buddy Michael, and it's like a synthwave project.
Yeah.
And that one's all about you, right?
Mind you,
the listener right now, it's about you specifically. But I'm really, really excited for that one to come out, because that one is going to be like, I don't know, that's like, I was going to be my next solo project, but then these guys were like, hey, I want to do a synthwave thing. And I was like, let's do it. Like, let's do this. And they're like, word. Cause I was actually already working on like a synthwave project. So it's like, well, I'm like in the middle of doing it. It's funny how that happens too. Like, that's something I think it's like almost a dead giveaway, right? Is like, you can sort of like intuit what's going to happen if you just kind of like notice what's happening around you.
Yeah.
For instance, like I was working on a synthwave project and these guys just randomly were like, hey, like, you know, I want to work on a synthwave thing with you. And it's like, it happens to be that I'm working on it right now, you know? And so I love to infuse nothing into, you know, into my projects. When the album's done, I'll share it with you. It's because I think you'd love it, because
awesome.
I've got little sound bites and stuff that are, you know, essentially it's based around the concept of a TV show, and it's intertwined with sort of daydreaming, and I'll sort of leave it at that. I want to keep it somewhat ambiguous, because I think ambiguity is really important to, you know, especially for the seekers out there. leave it up to, you know, the mind to figure out, because it will, trust me, at some point it'll just give up and you'll be like, oh.
nice. Well, I look forward to hearing it, and I just want to comment again that, you know, it's great to hear you say that you're in a hard rock band, and because I love anything that sort of flies in the face of what is presumed non-duality. Again, going back to this idea that sort of, especially in spiritual circles, there's kind of a sentimentalist view of what non-duality is. You know,
Like
I live here in Ashland, Oregon. I don't know what kind of, well, nobody's playing music right now, but you know, back in the day when music used to happen, you know, all these Kirtan people would come through here and they're all teaching like love and unity. And And man, I tried going to some of those shows, and I just found that, man, this just totally rubs me the wrong way. That I just
There's so many rules, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many rules with it all. Like, what is that?
But it's the presumption that if you're a non-dualist, that somehow you're like all spiritual, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like I am not that.
Right.
And I appreciate that you are also not just identifying as that. That I think,
you know, a non-dualist. I use so much symbology in myself. Sorry, not to cut you off.
It's okay.
I use so many symbolic things that almost argue with each other on purpose, right? I'm like trying to get people to be like, "Why did you do that? I'm gonna look up what that is." It's like, good, do it. Like that's the point. Like it'll lead you some direction that will help. But yeah. But it, you know, it's good breadcrumbs. That's what I like about, you know, all that stuff. And even the rules with, you know, as you call them, sentimental non-dualists, like there is sort of like the problem with them, I think, is what happens is they hit a plateau and they say, I've gotten there. Right. And that is sort of like, oh, nope, I can't do anything else because this has gotten me there. And it's like, well, but there's so much more juice that you have no idea. You should just keep going.
Yeah, you know? It just becomes another self-limiting, self-imposed idea that, okay, well, if I'm a non-dualist or, you know, whatever it is, but that means I'm supposed to be this way.
Right, yeah.
I'm supposed to fit this mold because that's how you, quote unquote, propagate the message, right, is through the sentimentality, through the spirituality, and it doesn't need to be, because that's just another set of ideas. That's just another set of conditioning. That's another set of expectations of what it is supposed to be when it is just what it is.
Right. Without any labels, like any labels, even nothing, like right? Like we said, the word's nothing.
Yeah,
it's the one word from A to Z that actually fits, right? Now, it's funny because every single one of the words actually fits if you're open to it. They all mean nothing, but nothing specifically, like right at the beginning of it says, I would leave this page blank, but you'd still see something, you know? And it's like even saying the word nothing, like that's still missing it almost, you know, because it's like, well, where is it? Well, it's everywhere. I mean, it's everything. It's all of it. There's no, all of it is nothing. And that's the beauty of I like Leo's analogy of it with, you know, the cat unwinding itself. Like it's the yarn cat, cat's that's own tail is made of yarn. And as it plays with the yarn, it unravels itself. Right. And like, that's such a beautiful like analogy for it, because it's absolutely the case for like what it is, you know, like you peel pieces of yourself away and then all of a sudden you're just left with like what you really are. And you're like, oh, myself is like way bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's so big. It's infinite. It's so like, it's nothing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how you came at this yourself. So you've mentioned Leo. That of course is Leo Guerra. I'm sure a lot of my audience is familiar with him. Kind of famously, he did an interview with me back in 2015. I don't know, maybe famously, that's not the right word, but I would say from my perspective, it was, because he, you know, I'm not a person with a lot of quote unquote followers, but Leo has got like millions of followers. And
he does have a lot.
You know, still to this day, that's one of the number one things that people cite when they initially reach out to me or contact me. It's like, oh man, I saw your interview on Leo Guerra's thing. You know,
that was definitely how I discovered your work, you know, but I've followed, you know, a lot of it since then. I've just been like, oh, this is great. Like, I love that there's somebody just outwardly talking about, you know, that this is one, like it's easy to talk about in psychedelic circles, I suppose, but it's like more difficult to talk about in non-psychedelic circles that aren't religious circles too, like that are just like non-dualist kind of chatting. Like another guy that I like to listen to is Jim Newman. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No,
but he's great. He just talks about this, right? Like he said, I can't tell you any more about it really than that. And there's nothing to really talk about. you know, because this is like, what's going on is the expectation that this is something, but there isn't something. This is just what is, you know. And he's got a real great, concise kind of way of just being like, I get that you're not getting it, but that's tough. Like, it's that's what it is. And people will go to his meetings, and it's great. You know, I love watching those, because I love the questions that people ask, because they're questions I used to ask, you know. And I like being able to talk openly about this with people. And so, like, new analogies always help.
Yeah.
But I discovered sort of the idea of consciousness through, I don't even know what, but that was what I just started one day, yeah, I should probably check this whole consciousness thing out. I don't know why, but I just probably should. Mm-hmm. And I like just started like diving down like the consciousness rabbit hole, which on YouTube is like a ridiculous minefield, but there are some gems in there, you know. And I stumbled across a playlist that somebody threw together. I don't think it was Leo that threw it together, it was somebody else. And I watched through it. And like, as I watched through it, like more and more was just like clicking for me. And I was like, this is great, you know? And then I ended up watching the episode with you. I started checking out other, you know, people that are talking about non-duality. And like, it just, when that day happened, right, it was like, it was weird because it was like so clear that day. Like, mm-hmm. That was for sure the day for me that it was like, okay, this is definitely the truth. And like, nobody's going to convince me otherwise, I don't think, anymore. Like, it's kind of impossible almost for me to convince me otherwise, even, you know. And but it did take me a couple of years to sort of integrate that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, you know, this is a different way of like living. And like, people get really irritated when I talk about it. Why are people getting so mad when I'm talking about this? I'm just telling them they don't exist. Why is that an issue? Like, I don't understand what the problem is. And, you know, a couple of friends are still around because they've disappeared too, which is beautiful. You know, I'm so happy about that, because it's like, I mean, grant you, they show up every once in a while. We all do. I still show up, right? That's the thing, too, I think, that a lot of people also misconstrues, like, once you've gotten there, like, oh, he's enlightened, well, why are you doing this then? And it's like, well, because I'm not enlightened. That's what would be a person being something. I'm nothing who gets confused that it's something at times, and then like remembers, oh, that's right, never mind.
Yeah, well, it points to this idea that this liberation process and the experiences that come with it is not a permanent state. And I think that that's a big misunderstanding that a lot of people have. And again, that also ties into the notion of non-duality as a sentimental sort of proposition, that, oh, you're going to become this thing that then behaves in this way, and that is what a liberated person is supposed to do. So it conforms to ideas, and it comes with the idea that somehow you have entered into some kind of permanent, unchanging state, which is actually, it's the complete opposite. Is like, no, actually, I'm open to the change without the rigidity of control. Exactly. And maintaining an artifice within the continual flux of change. So there are these key moments, like when you turned around in your kitchen, it was just like, oh, that's it, which happens to people.
Crazy. Yeah. It was just like, what the hell? You know, I mean, like, out of nowhere, it's just like, oh, I like understand what God is. I understand what everybody's been talking about all this time. Like, no wonder they'd like have such a hard time talking about it. You can't talk about it. Like, but it's clearly the truth. Holy shit. Like,
yeah. And then after that, whatever it was you were doing in your kitchen, you were making food, or you were cleaning your dishes, or I was getting
ready to go to family like get together for Christmas Eve. So I like showed up and I was like, I'm God, so are you. And like, everybody's like,
what happened to Daniel? But that's the thing, is that after that moment, life still goes on in the regular 3D world, and everybody else is still there, even though your perception and appreciation of it has now fundamentally shifted. And
absolutely.
And I really appreciate the fact that you say, well, after that point, Like, no one could convince you otherwise. And I'm right there with you. It's like, and that's why I don't even like to argue for non-duality. I don't want to get in arguments with people. I don't want to try and have to prove anything. It's like, look, if you figure this shit out on your own, you'll find out this is just the way it is. And there's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to prove. It's just the way it is. But then life still goes on. Right. And you get to decide, well, am I going to make music today? Am I going to make a book? Am I going to make some art? What am I going to do? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's it. Like, is it's like a lot of people think that, you know, well, if it's so, you know, if it's so life changing, how come like you look the same, you like still do the same stuff? It's like, well, it's not like my life change, just to like my life, like the thing that I'm like living right now, right? My senses and all of that, like that, all of a sudden there's an understood the relationship, I suppose, right? The relationship I had to life was like, I have another shirt that I had made that says invert your perspective, and it's a Necker cube, right? So it's got like the 3D looking cube, but it's sitting in the corner of a room, right? Or it's a giant cube with the corner missing.
Yeah.
It just depends on how you look at it. And if you notice, when you look at that, you know, if you can kind of envision that in your mind's eye, then you can see that it's literally the inverse of the, what the other one is. And like, that's sort of like a decent analogy, I think, for sort of what happens, right? Is you like all of a sudden you're like, oh, like, I'm not in anything. Everything's in me. Okay, I get it. Like, never mind. Sorry, I'm like in the wrong place. I've been in the wrong position this whole time.
Yeah, and that kind of reminds me of the images that are kind of double images in the sense that they have two different interpretations. Like, it's a duck or it's a rabbit, right?
Yeah.
And that as we are perceiving it, we either see one or the other. We don't see both at the same time.
Right.
Because we automatically want to categorize it and identify. And that if we do see both at the same time, it's not going to be either one of those things. It's just going to be a series of lines.
It's just lines. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good metaphor or a good analogy for what happens with your change of perspective, that you see things differently. It's not that you're seeing something different.
Right.
But you're seeing it differently. And it's in a new context. And then in those special moments when perception kind of broadens into, oh my God, it's everything, then that's the point where you're just seeing all the lines, but there's nothing. That's what, again, this word nothing is good, because there's no thing there.
Right. Yep, exactly. It's like everything. I try to describe it to my mom one time, you know, I pulled a cookie sheet out, right? And I like, cause it had like a grid on it. And I said, imagine that this grid just keeps going like forever, right? In all directions. And she's like, okay. I said, so where does it start and where does it end? And she's like, well, you just said it goes all directions forever. I said, right. So where does it start or where does it end? And she's like, well, it can't start or end anywhere. Like it's nothing. And I was like, right. You just realized that infinity is nothing. Like, you just caught the secret, you know, like that's the thing that everybody sort of misses. That whole plane of sort of this, all this physicality isn't like, it's real, but it's not physical and it's not you. It's, I don't know. It's like a sandbox. It's like a big old mental sandbox.
Right. So then tell us more about that dinner party with family. So then, because this is always also a very interesting one, like, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of the great ironies that I always like to talk about with non-duality, is that when you really get it, and I don't mean an intellectual understanding, but when you've had an experiential basis where all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, that's what this is it. This is it. That it ironically can become radically isolating, because then everybody else is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Right? Yeah.
Or even perhaps as your family might have expressed to you, well, who the fuck do you think you are? If you come in saying you're God, like what the fuck happened to you? What's wrong with you? So it actually becomes ironically socially isolating, yeah. even though you feel a sense of identity with the everything that is nothing. So,
right, yeah.
So what was that dinner party like?
I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, in the same moment of understanding that, like, well, Daniel's getting looked at ridiculous, there was sort of like another side. There's just not even another side. It was the side I was, which is nothing, which is just like, okay,
yeah,
that's fine. It's fine. They'll figure it out. Like, it's fine. And, like, you know, I think one of the coolest moments was that I walked up to my uncle, who's a pastor, right? And I was able to, like, openly talk about God with him, mm-hmm. right? And he was sitting there going, like, no, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, that's, no, yeah, that's what I, that's kind of what I'm, like, trying to talk about. But, yeah, okay, like, okay. Like, he was sort of having, like, all these aha moments, and I was, like, talking about God for the very first time in my life, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, yeah, this is totally what that means. Like, that means this, and this, that doesn't mean shit. Like, that doesn't mean anything. This thing actually, like, is trying to point to something decent, but, like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, and it was like, I felt it, right? You feel it. You just yeah. feel like what, and so, that's another difficult part, I think, about religion too, is that it's like, parts of religion are like, absolutely helpful in, like, pointing you in the right direction, but then there's all this overlay that, like, ends up, you know, being super distorting and all that. But, you know, back to the Christmas party, you know, one of my favorite parts outside of talking to my uncle was I walked up to my grandma and I said, you know, I realized who I am today. And she sort of looked at me and said, isn't it cool? I was like, what the hell?
No, grandma.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's great, you know? And, like, it was really cool because, like, me and her were able to sort of have a couple of discussions before she passed away earlier last month, actually, which was, you know, more difficult, obviously, on my family than me. I obviously miss my grandmother, of course. And that's, I think, something difficult to talk about, too, is it's like, just because I, like, know death is an illusion doesn't mean that I don't have memories, right? Like,
yeah.
You can still have memories about, like, old friends, right, that are, like, alive today and be just as sad about, like, not having them in your life anymore as, you know, you can be with losing someone. So to think that sort of, like, death makes it so that that isn't real is sort of silly. Like, you, there's still grief. There's still, you know, there's still these emotions that we have to work through as humans, I think. You know, that's just sort of part of the package. You know, you don't all of a sudden become a robot.
Yeah.
You know, you do still have these emotions. And this, you know, this vehicle is conditioned to think and feel and operate certain ways. And things will just trigger it. You know, I remember it was beautiful after I, you know, a couple days after, it was funny, a couple days after my grandmother passed away, we found out that me and my wife were expecting our first child.
Oh, congratulations.
in March. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So,
and I found out the day, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, life goes on.
Life goes on. Absolutely. You know, and that was sort of the night before we found out about him. I was in my studio and I was just like, oh, this is just, yeah, this is rough. I'm like, I'm going to just kind of let it out. And I just bawled, you know, which is good.
Yeah,
and
and
you are a huge advocate in just energetic release, any type of way it needs to be.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, I am all about it too. And I tell people, like, if you need to cry right now, like, cry, like, don't feel like you got to hold something together in front of me, because, you know, and a lot of people are able to sort of let that out here, I think, and that's pretty cool to be able to hold a space for. But you know, I was just on the floor almost in the fetal position, just bawling, and I heard my grandma, which of course is me, I heard my grandma in my head, ding, hey, get up. I was like, okay, whoa. Mm-hmm. So I stood up and I said, okay, is this really you? Right, because I was a wreck, and then the thought popped through: does it matter?
Yeah.
And I was good. I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right. Okay, never mind. Everything's okay. and I like was completely good, and then I found out I was having a kid. Because life goes on, you know, and like, absolutely, what a clearer way to see that than like the order of events that that happened too, right? So like, it's great, you know, and it's okay to go through those emotions as long as you don't stay there. I think that's where a lot of people get stuck with death, is they stay in those emotions as though they've actually lost something, you know, which I understand why it seems that way, right? Like, it's a good illusion. It's a really, really good illusion. Like, that's why it's so hidden. It's like hidden right in the plain open. Like, I keep telling my mom, I'm like, you know, you just got to remember where she is. And she's like, well, I guess she isn't, right? I was like, right. Like, so it's all good. She's like, all of it still. Like, she never was, just like you aren't right now. It just is. And it's like, oh. It's like a breath of fresh air, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Then that, of course, doesn't change the fact that we still have emotional reactions to things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that we still feel things, and that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Because that's also part of the flip side of, again, the sentimental non-duality, is this idea, oh, we should all be in love and feeling unity and peace and all of this all the time, and so I'm just going to maintain that. But then it turns into a spiritual bypassing where people don't actually recognize the suffering that they do encounter. Because we could say, look, all of reality is illusion, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still fucking going on, that it's still that happening.
That doesn't pay, like, my phone bill. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't take care of, you know, like, my kids. That doesn't do any of that. Like, it helps you mentally. Like, if you realize that absolutely will help you function through this without, like, oh, what about, what ifs? Like, what ifs go bloop. What ifs sort of disappear out the window almost, you know, because you're like, they're more what ifs, I guess, the negative what ifs, I suppose I should say, because positive what ifs all of a sudden are like, well, let's try this. You know, because you know it's sort of a fun little game to play.
Yeah. You know? But it kind of relieves the anxiety around those what ifs.
Right.
Like, oh, well, what if that? Oh, and what if that? And what if that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't get rid of them. That's actually a good point, because they are still there, but it gets rid of the need to latch onto them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sort of can happen, and then you're like, okay, like, let's not do that one.
Yeah,
that one's going to lead me astray.
Right, and going back to emotions, then in the what if, I'm feeling that emotion right now, and then the idea is, well, then you feel it, and you express it. But it's the attachment and the identification that we form around the emotion, or even perhaps the suppression of an emotion, that's where things get unhealthy. That's where people, unfortunately, trap or repress themselves. And again, going back to this idea of liberation, that liberation is allowing you to be what you already are. So it's not about fixing something, it's not about changing something, but it does shift the relationship. It shifts your relationship to your pain, to your suffering, to the events of your life, to your choices. And then you find liberation within that, not liberation from it, right? But liberation
absolutely.
Within it. Yeah,
exactly. That's the thing, is like, I think a lot of people feel like there's like going to be like a, oh, so like all my problems are just going to disappear completely.
Yeah.
Like I'll be cured. And it's like, wait, no, you'll see the cure. That's like a decent thing to say, I think. Right. You'll see all of a sudden how the cure needs to happen. But like, it's still up to you to like, to do some work, because you know, and especially like, I think one of the clearest things that happens is you see your own issues super, super clearly all of a sudden. And a lot of people don't like that.
Yeah.
And so even the concept of like, well, if it doesn't get rid of them, then what's the point? And it's like, there's not, you don't have to keep trying to figure it out. But that typically will plant a seed, you know, and I love just throwing seeds sort of everywhere. And I know most of them won't grow, but water, it does rain, you know, so they'll get watered.
Yeah. And even the idea that there should be a point.
Yeah. Like why?
What makes you think there should be a point to having a non-dual experience? I mean, what's your point that there should be a point?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it comes out of people wanting something else, but refusing to admit that they're the reason that they don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's rough, right? It's a simple fix, but like nobody wants to do that. Wait, what do you mean? I'm the bad guy here? Like, wait a second. No.
Yeah.
The government's the bad guy here. No. It's my boss who's the bad guy. No. It's my mom raised me just to. No, it's my third grade teacher taught me. You know, no, they always, it's new. It's you. It's you for listening.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's easy to see. It's easy to talk about, but it's like really difficult to accept. And I think that's, like, because I was exposed to that whole, you know, you're nothing, you don't exist. That's like, there is no you. That concept I'd already been kind of watching and diving into for like years before that. Was like, okay, like what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? And it's like, well, that's that right there. That little like trying to latch on is sort of what led me to like going, okay, like after a certain amount of times of being like, is it me? Am I God? Am I like the thing that like, no. Okay. You know, after enough of those times, it's like, okay, I'm done. Like I'm done saying that's like not the case. Cause that's like totally the case. Like, and you're God, like that's all there is. That's like, and I like the word God. Cause like Christianity is like rampant throughout the United States. Right. So everybody can, I like at least go, oh, I know what God is. I know what you're talking about. At least that dude in the clouds. Right. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Not that guy. Different guy. You.
What do you mean?
Me? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that sort of can bridge us into the book a little bit if you want. Where it's like it's written by you, right? Like that's sort of the big giveaway. I like saying, like, you know, great movies give the spoiler away right at the beginning, and so like I was like, I'll just give it away here. Boom. I mean, I tell you what it's about right on the cover, right? It's A to Z, nothing from A to Z. To be completely honest, I was laying in bed one night and I just was like, I need to pull my notes out. And I just like pulled my notes out. I was like, I think I'm going to write like something. And I was like, an alphabet book sounds pretty easy because I can like line, I can outline an alphabet book pretty easy, right? And I laid there for about 2 hours and literally just wrote all the way from the first page all the way to that last page that you read. And I was just like, okay, I guess. And I like proofread it and, you know, fixed a couple of typos. But like what you read essentially just kind of vomited out of me one night. And it was just like, whoa. That's why I like to say like the moment sort of wrote it and I didn't really write it. And you wrote it. You know, it's like the person listening to this, you're the one who wrote that. Like, cause it's like clearly I wasn't a part of it.
And had you done any writing like that before? Was this a new experience for you?
That was a total, like, I hadn't ever, that's the first book I've ever written, right? And so, like, I mean, I've written sort of, like, short stories and sort of, like, I've written essays and stuff about, you know, I've written about my experience. It's actually, I did it for college. I was going to school for business school, and I did like it was my life changing event. Right. And I was like, I got this one. And then I, of course, struggled to write about it in a cohesive way that I'd actually get an A from my professor. Right. But I did. I got an A on my paper, which was really cool. Regarding the topic.
Yeah. What was the professor's response to it? Or was it just an A, or, but did you get any feedback or?
I think she had said something like, oh, this is a great essay. I love the wording in it. It like made a lot of sense, you know, cause I tried to not make it like, well, you don't exist. And I realized this, and like, it was like, it was a narrative, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and I it didn't blow any minds, I don't think, but it sort of made me go like, okay, well, that's cool. I can write about this like still in a way that's like digestible at least.
Yeah. You could have a voice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like, I've always done my music thing. You know, I've been doing that since I would say like actively out and about doing it since I was about 15, but I was like 9 when I started writing. And I wrote a song called School Sucks.
That's a great place to start.
Right. But anyways, you know, and so I've always sort of had a voice that way, but like, yeah, it was cool to be able to like, okay, so I can actually like write like I'm talking to somebody right now, you know, like I'm talking to you right now, and people can like maybe hear me. And that's when I decided I started my little thing. You know, I have like a little podcast. It's like it's a little nothing podcast, pun intended. Yeah. It's called A Discussion on Nothing. And, you know, I was like, this is a good little outlet for me to be able to talk about this, right? Because there's not a lot of places to sort of chat about non-duality. And so it's like, you know, I'll get a couple of my buddies that we've talked about it enough and we'll kind of do a couple episodes. And then I ended up getting a couple more guests that were like, I dig what you're doing. Like, let's check it out. And we've done 13 episodes. This is tiny. Like I said, it's a tiny podcast and I don't really look for it to be huge, but it's a cool outlet.
Yeah.
You know? And, the book just sort of happened and I went, you know, this is really, I've like read through it, you know, as Daniel. I like went, all right, I gotta settle down into, you know, into sort of my ego, if you will, like, and sort of occupy the mind of Daniel and be like, let's fucking look at this in a way that I'm not a non-dualist, right? I don't look at the world this way. I look at the world really, you know, two-sided almost. And I go, read through it and I go, this is like, I can actually understand this. Like maybe I should just make this available to sort of everybody that I can, you know? And so I like formed it together into a PDF and just sort of posted it on Facebook. It was like, whoever wants it, you know, can have it. And if you have anybody who wants it, give it to them, you know? And it started getting shared around and people were like, hey, can I get like a hard copy of that book? And I was like, well, that one's free. Like a hard copy, all it cost me to make a hard copy, you know? He's like, well, they're like, well, we'll pay for it. It's fine. I was like, all right, like that's cool, I guess. So I'm getting some hard copies made. I have a couple, but I spilt Dr. Pepper on them.
Oh no.
So they are very unique copies. So if you end up with one of these copies, then you're very special. But I was like, all right, well, I'll do that, but I want to make sure it's like available for everybody because like it's the message is something like, and a lot of people give me shit about this. They're like, why do you just like give it to people? Like you could charge people money for this. I'm like, that's the problem though. Like that's like half of the issue about like religion and all that is like, well, I'll tell you for a price.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't, you know. So at least if I make it like I'm cool to charge money for hard copies and make a little profit on it because I'm going through the work to do it. You know, but like I wanted to make it available to everybody. So it's on YouTube too. It's on that channel, you know, and it's got that read along. So you can actually read right with it, you know, and I'm reading along with it. And it was fun to make, you know, I just put some like nice calm music in the background and just sort of, you know, did this little voiceover thing and yeah. It was fun.
And is that you doing the music?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing. I did all that. So yeah. it was fun. I do a lot of media stuff.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about the images in the book.
Yeah, so the images are actually they're all off Unsplash, which if you're an artist out there at all or whatever, you know, and like you want to check that kind of stuff out, it's free royalty, free photos that are completely good to use commercially. And I adore that channel. But yeah, I tried to sort of tie the pictures in a bit. I mean, if you can sort of open your vibes up, you can sort of get why each is there. But yeah, do you have any specific questions about the pictures?
Well, I was just noticing that some of them were photographs and others are more a little bit artistic or geometrical pieces. And so, yeah, I was just wondering like where they came from or if you created them or and how you decided which image went with which you've explained a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically I just kind of I like the first kind of couple of images of it, you know, it's got like the grid and they're black and white.
Yeah.
I like to sort of like, that's sort of where I don't know if there's like, I almost don't want to say it because it's like, then it gives sort of like a road where there isn't one, but like essentially it's like the start of a meditation, right? which can start somewhat bland and boring and then can kind of get a little crazier and a little crazier and a little crazier. And then you get to the stare at this, which is meant to sort of mimic, like, here, it's meditate for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. If you realize it or not, that's what you're doing. That's great. Just do it. And then, you know, the idea is to sort of like tie that together. Go, oh, okay. And then, yeah, each of the pictures is just sort of, it sort of ties in with the word. And if like I said, if you look at it, you know, with an open mind, you can probably intuit sort of why with each of them. And if not, that's cool. You don't have to, you know, that's the beauty of it, is it's sort of a really ambiguous book. And it's meant to be like not something that's like definitively saying like this is this and this is how it is. It's more like, well, what if it was this way? What if maybe you thought about it this way? You know, what if you shifted the way you look at it to like maybe something like this? And none of it's meant to be kept. You know, all of it's meant to be set back down. And I thought that the ABC thing too is just so accessible. Right? Like, it's like, I mean, who can't pick up an ABC book and be like, gosh, flip to a page. It's funny, like my buddy, you know, my buddy Jordan, he's like, he uses that book specifically for that. He'll wake up in the morning and he meditates every morning. He'll wake up, flip open to a page, read the word, read the page, close his book, and then go meditate, which I just think is awesome. Like, yeah. It's so cool. And I've also have had a couple of friends, like my other friend actually lost his dad to COVID a couple months ago. And he said that the book actually helped him through that time, which was really cool. Mm. You know, it's like, it's cool to know that like, that it wasn't just like some vain little thing that, you know, Daniel decided to attribute to nothing. You know, it's like, it really is something that's kind of special. And I don't want to take credit for it, because it's like, it really wasn't me. I promise. Like Daniel was gone for it, or it wouldn't have been able to be written so like concisely, you know. I think there would have been a lot of opinion. And I think that's another difficult thing, is the mind is a very active machine. And I don't think people realize that like thoughts aren't you. You're not in charge of those things. They just go on. And like, you're able to watch them. The rest just sort of happens.
So speaking of thoughts, it sounds like from what you describe that the book just came out. It just happened that you just sat down and wrote it. But I'm curious, did you, you know, since you're going through the alphabet, did you hit a word and then you're like, I want to use this word for this letter. But it sounds like you didn't really do that.
No, I would love to be like, oh no. And then I figured out this one was like the perfect word. No, it was just like, I just wrote. And like, I did, I was like, A, okay, awareness. That one's the one, blah, 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 B, blank, simple. Blah, blah, blah. And it was like, I didn't even have to decide. It was like, I just knew. I already knew what words went where. And like, I didn't write like an outline for it. That was what I was trying to write.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to write an outline and like start a book. And then I was just like, I guess I'll just write the whole thing right now. So it just like, it just kind of happened. It was pretty crazy. I like really wish that I had something recording it, because like, I'm sure there's many people that are just like, bullshit. You had to have like, at least like, you know, set something out and said, no, it just happened. And like, it was a trip to me even. I was like, whoa, like, what is all of this? This is like gold. What the hell? And I know that's going to sound cocky to some people who don't understand where that statement's coming from. But truly, like, when I looked at it from like my sort of ego perspective, I was like, whoa, where did this come from? This is great. You know, I was almost like, somebody else wrote this. This is awesome. You know, like, it wasn't me. And it's a trip how that is. But
yeah, you know,
this whole thing's a trip.
That's true. But I know exactly what you're talking about. That for me, I really had that experience, excuse me, with my book, Speaking of the Non-Dual, you know, which is kind of these little poems.
Yeah, and with set to your music, right?
Yeah. And when
I have it on my iPad, my Apple.
Oh, cool.
It's in my playlist of downloaded songs too. So cool. When I'm on a road trip, it's one of the ones that doesn't get skipped, you know?
Oh, nice. Nice. But that, for me, that was very similar kind of experience where I was just kind of writing these poems and they all just kind of happened. And yeah. It's the kind of thing where I've had people, a few people ask me like, well, when is like part two going to come out? And it's like, well, fuck if I know. I mean, maybe never. I mean, I don't know, because it's not like I set out to do it. It just happened. The words just felt right. And, you know, so it exists, but I didn't like set out like, okay, well, I really want to write a book that deals with the topic of non-duality, but coming out of poetry or, you know, it just happened, you know? I really know exactly what you mean. And then also, and then I'm looking back, it's like, wow, that really kind of nailed it. But it's, you know, this is odd thing about, you know, performance versus, you know, flow, you know, if we want to put it into.
Yeah,
you
know, no, that's beautiful. I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way.
Yeah. That if you're really focusing on your performance and what it is that you're trying to achieve, then, you know, you're in your head about it. You're in your ideas about it versus, look, man, this is just what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I appreciate the way that it came out. And it's just, you know, different people approach creative projects in different ways. And I think that probably most people who are involved in any kind of expressive or performance-like activity would tell you, well, the time that I thought the least about it is actually the time that it worked the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just about to say that, of course, you know, one mind, that tends to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, Wayne Gretzky, right, my drummer in Betty Hates Everything, always loves talking about this story because it's true. You know, Wayne Gretzky talked about whenever he was playing, you know, and was getting these killer plays, he's like, I wasn't playing down there. He's like, I was playing up above the ice. Like, I can't explain that to you, but like, that's where I was playing from. And I could see everything that was going on. So I knew where to go.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you're in your flow, like you, the whole like, Daniel, right, or Martin, goes bye-bye. Like, that's just like, whew, and now the art's just taken over. And that's actually a piece that we talk about in the Never Ever. We've talked about it with the Never Ever a lot, is that I keep pointing up here because this is where my screen is. But we, you know, there's been many times we've sat down in the studio and we've gone, all right, let's do this. And then we try this. It just doesn't work. And we just kind of all give up. And at that moment is when it works. And like that, whenever we step out of the way, right, and we let music, that's something I've learned producing music for like 10 years now. When you step out of the way, like that's when you allow music, because music is absolutely alive, just like you and I are. It's a living entity. If you want to fucking split you and I up into an entity, trust me, music is too, you know. I mean, obviously, all of it's nothing, but in the surface level of things, everything's alive, including music. And if you give it the space to live by sort of being like, oh, okay, well, I'll step out of the way and just sort of let you do your thing, magic happens. And like, it's really, really cool to see happen. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched a song write itself.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was like, oh, here, I'll move some stuff for you because I can feel what you're trying to move right now. And it's really cool because, yeah, I mean, I like how I write my lyrics is I'll scat through stuff. Right. I'll like write the song, then I'll scat through the lyrics, the melody line. I'll do some kind of like, actually, I have, I don't know if you can hear that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just a little melody line, right? Nothing like, there's no actual, you know, words. But now I'll go back and like listen for the lyrics because they're there.
Yeah.
I just don't hear them yet. And then I will. And then I'll be like, oh, okay, there they are. And I'll write them down. And then that's how most of my songs are written. And a lot of them speak about nothing, oddly. Weird.
Oh, I wonder why.
But yeah, you know, and it's just fun, man. I love creating. Creating is why you took on a body, right? Like, that's why nothing pretends to be something. It's literally the entire reason is to just create and to like play and to like check itself out. Because, like, how else would the universe check itself out but then to occupy a piece of itself? Like, it's kind of like, it's almost asinine to, like, think any other way is possible, right? Like,
yeah. It's a really interesting point to make, because it's another one that people who maybe are questing or seeking or just trying to understand, like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah.
That a lot of people come back with, like, well, what's the point, or what's the meaning, or what is the universe or God or reality? What is it trying to achieve? And then the answer
why, is, right? The big why.
Yeah, the why. Like, it's got to be going somewhere, right? And then when you come back with the answer, it's like, well, look, it's already doing it, okay? Like
right. You're in the process of it, right?
You know,
it's for you, it's asking why.
Yeah. And it's creative. It is just inherently creative, and it enjoys doing it and being creative and having that. So it actually makes me think of a little personal story for myself. Do you mind if I share a little music story for you? Okay.
Absolutely.
So this was quite a few months ago now, because I was I was working on this album back in the winter of this year. But it's my most recent album, Temples of Light. But anyway, I'd recorded the very last song, and it was sometimes what I like to do when I finish an album is, like, okay, well, I want a trip, and I want to listen to the album and just, you know, just check it out from that perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
for sure.
Yeah. So I was listening to the album, and I was tripping, and I was really digging the album. But there was something about the last song that was just kind of nagging at me. And I listened for the whole album three times. And then on the third time, what I just suddenly realized, oh, let me back up a moment, actually. So, you know, I work on Mac, and I was in Logic, and I was trying So I was trying to bounce it down from Logic into what used to be iTunes, but is now just Apple Music. And then I wanted it to show up on my phone, right? Because I wanted to go lie down in my bedroom, put some headphones on, and just, like, zonk out listening to it. But it kept saying, you know, it would go into Apple Music on my desktop, but it would not sync to the cloud and show up on my phone. And I was just like, oh, what the hell is going on here? And so, you know, I worked, like, all day, like, trying to get the song on my phone, and just nothing would get the song on my phone. And it was really frustrating. It was like, oh, well, anyway, I'm not going to worry about that now. I'm going to trip, and I'm just going to listen to it on my desktop, you know, and just hang out in my office. But anyway, then the third pass through the whole album, I get to the last song, and the song is built around this little piano riff that was one of the things that just happened, right? This little piano riff.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, in listening to it, what I realized is, like, you know what? The last note of the piano riff, I hit the keyboard too hard. And so the note is actually too loud. What I need to do is I need to go back into Logic, and I need to adjust the little pressure slider so that that note is not hit quite so hard. And as soon as I realized that, it's like, you know what? The second I fix that, it's going to upload to the cloud, and it's going to show up on my phone. And I knew it. I knew it. It's like, this is totally going to work.
And sure enough.
And sure enough, I went into Logic. I found the note. I slid the bar down. I bounced the song down, and it immediately showed up on my phone. And it's like, yeah.
There you go.
Like, so from the weird perspective of language, it's like, how do we talk about this? It's like, well, the song knew that that note was wrong, and it wasn't going to let me be done with it until I fixed the damn note. And as soon as I fixed the note, then it worked.
Absolutely. That's it, man. Like, there's been so many times that kind of stuff has happened, you know? And, like, I can't tell you how many times that kind of stuff's happened with projects of mine, you know? I'll be like, I hear something weird going on right now. And then, like, I'll fix one little thing. And, like, all the rest of the stuff that I was like, oh, that was, like, missing that. Okay, that's got that. Okay. And, like, it was funny because some mess ups are, like, they're good.
Yeah, yeah. That was the right mess up. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And those ones, like, actually, that was this part real quick. Sorry to, like, sit here and just show off this stuff. But I do this little fluctuation. I use auto-tune. Now, I use auto-tune for two reasons. One, as a tool, I like to use it so that I can practice the correct notes And then I also use it slightly as an effect. But live, I'm going to use it full hard, like heavy auto tune because, you know, live that's different. Anyways, I do this little vocal fluctuation. It was not intentional. Right? So they're like almost these little like, I don't know, Gaelic sounding sort of fluctuations. And it's really cool. And I didn't mean to do it. Like, I can show it sounds like without the auto tune. It doesn't sound that good. But that's, you know, that's how you do it. You just kind of do it. You don't go, oh, am I doing it right? Do I sound good for this scratch track that nobody's ever going to hear? Like, no, you just do it. Right. You go, I'm just going to throw a melody on because like that note sounds cool there. And like, oh, that doesn't sound cool there. OK, so I'll change that one. It's all just a game of trial and error, which is what life is. Right. Like that's like totally what life is. It's the universe being like, oop, that didn't work. I'll try that again. And, you know, but that's, I mean, it's funny because it's not the universe saying that didn't work. It's being like, perfect. Now I know. I got it. Cool. Let's move on. Let's do the next piece.
Yeah.
You know,
and just having that appreciation is such an important part of the creative process, right? That idea of, I mean, so many people get hung up on, I want the end product to be exactly this thing that I want it to be versus just try, just do stuff, see what you like and see what response you get from the medium that you're using as well. And
absolutely
that, you know, you don't need to be intimidated. You know, I think that a lot of people who haven't found their creative outlet, they get really intimidated by it, especially when they see, oh God, you know, like that awesome musician or look at that artist or that novelist or whatever. But it really is that just let go of expectations and just play. Just have fun.
That's why they call it playing.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally why you play music. It's a game. It's absolutely a game. And sometimes games, you know, like you don't play Monopoly and then like you don't ever lose any money. Like, no, you go to jail sometimes. And like sometimes you lose properties and sometimes you go bankrupt. Like shit happens. So like playing means messing up and like putting like, oh, that chord doesn't go with that chord at all. But then listening to them and going, wait a second, those do go together. Like, why do those go together? But they sound so awful by themselves, you know? And it's amazing, like, the kind of stuff that can just happen. It can just naturally blossom from it, too. Yeah. Like, that's the coolest part is it's like you're allowing something that doesn't, like, typically get the space to, like, exist in that way. To exist in that way, because like if you don't believe that music, I don't mean you, I just mean the person listening, right? But if you don't believe that music, you know, has the entity qualities that you do, then why would you give it the space, right? So like a lot of people, I don't think give it that kind of space. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who produces music this way, obviously, right? There's people that figured this out long, long before I did, trust me. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the thing, is like you just have to be open to it. It's be open. Like that's the best advice I can give anybody. Adaptability is like the number one human trait that everybody should learn. Like that's the skill that is like the number one skill, I think, that we should sort of ingrain, right, is adaptability. Be ready to like shift if you need to.
Yeah. So it sounds like now your sort of creative outlet and focus is the music that you're doing, especially the synth bit that you were talking about with the other guys. And it sounds to me like you don't have a plan to be writing another book. Like you're not.
I actually am.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I am. Yeah, I'm going to be writing. So there's two books that I'm going to be writing. One of them is actually, because I'm going to give it a go and see what happens, about doing a second volume of Nothing From A to Z. So we'll see. I don't know. what's going to happen? If it doesn't work, then I know that it's not the move. However, I am writing a book called A Discussion on Nothing. And it's sort of just my story and sort of the things that I've sort of realized. And, you know, it's more probably an autobiography than anything. I will be working on that, obviously. It probably won't be out for a while. I'm still in the midst of writing it, but I am planning to release, you know, more. And I am actually going to be writing a movie called Monolith. That's going to be about a town, we'll just say. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's very meta. It's a very meta kind of thing. I'll send you the script once it's done. I think you'll like it. It's
cool.
It's interesting, you know, but I look forward to sort of, you know, finishing those up. Obviously I've got a child on the way, so we'll see how much time I'm going to have.
Yeah. Be prepared. Be prepared to not be prepared.
Yeah, for sure. Thankfully, I think I've done the last, you know, 6 or 7 years of my life doing that. So, or 5 years or however long. See, the time sort of disappears too.
So how far are you into the memoir?
So into the memoir, I have probably, I've got like the outline about done, and I've gotten the first two chapters, I think, written, but that's about it. Right. So it's a ways, but I do plan on, you know, I've got the outline done, so I'm excited to sort of start chomping away at it. And I actually have a little bit more to fill in, because I think the outline was like, I finished the outline forever ago. It was like a year ago. So I have a bit of filling in to do, but yeah.
Yeah,
so that one will be out in a bit, but I can tell you that the Never Ever album will be out by like the beginning of next year.
Great,
for
great.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so.
I just love it how it's actually another one of the ironies of non-duality is really one of the best ways to communicate it is through the personal story.
Yeah, right? For sure. Right.
It's ironic.
It's so difficult too, because yeah, it's like then people are like, "Oh, okay, so this is like a step by step manual, and I just got to do what this guy did." It's like, no, don't do that. But yeah, like that's exactly it, because it's funny. Yeah, it's like the individual's story will tell you that it doesn't exist. Wait a second. Like, yes. I love your book, you know, Becoming Infinite, right? I believe that's the name of it, right?
Being Infinite, yeah.
Being Infinite, yes. Yeah. And it's so great. Like, I've listened to it twice on two road trips with my buddy and my mom.
Oh, cool.
And it was great because towards the end of it, my mom, as we're driving, she says, "Pause it." I said, "What's up?" And she's like, "Okay." And she like kind of had to take a breather for a second. She said, "Hold on." And I was like, "Take your time, you're good." And she's like, "Okay, so." And then she just kind of like looked at me. She's like, "No fucking way." And then she just kind of started laughing, and we just kind of both started laughing. And I was like, this is the best thing ever, you know? Because it was like my mom like got it. Like all of a sudden she was just like, "There isn't anybody here," you know, like, holy shit.
That is so awesome.
And it was great, you know. And my other buddy, you know, he really loved it, but I really think that my mom definitely got the most out of that exchange, because, you know, it was just a couple months. It was just in July that happened. So like very recently for her. So wow. She's going through a kind of interesting process of sort of second guessing things. And like, I don't know if that was, you know, as you do, it sort of happens. Yeah. Right. Like, and like, that's the thing, like to anybody who's listening or whatever, you know, like if it happens to you, like, don't be like, "Oh, I'm fucking crazy." Cause don't worry. Yes, you are. We all are. It's fine. But like really realizing that you're crazy is like becoming sane, and like, don't worry about it. It's going to feel nuts for a bit, but then all of a sudden you'll just like accept that that's not really true. It's not nuts. It's actually the sanest you've ever been. And like, then like everything else just sort of morphs into this big singular, like, nothing. I mean, that's like the word, like, I try to find words for it, but I can't ever find words for it. So nothing is like the best word I can find for it, you know, because it isn't anything and it's you. So it's everything.
Well, that's awesome, Daniel. And thank you for sharing that story with me. I really appreciate being able to hear that about your mom. And yeah. I think that this feels like a good place to end our current conversation about nothing, because we've returned back to the word. To use a Taoist term, we've completed the reversion process.
Yeah, there you go.
Back to nothing. But I've yeah. really enjoyed chatting with you today. It's been a
yeah,
lot of
too.
Fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on, man. This was I feel blessed. Thank you so much. Like, you're one of my favorite authors. You're just, I love how vocal you are about this stuff. You know, I was watching that, sir. I was sort of silently watching that ridiculous battle you were going through with that other, I can't remember the name of the magazine because they're not that important, but like, you know who I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
And that was ridiculous, man. I'm glad to see you pulled out of that decently, and they basically just shut the fuck up. At least that I've seen. I haven't seen anything on it, but yeah, I really appreciate you like giving me the time and checking the book out. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? So tell people where they can find the book, and also your YouTube channel, podcast, and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's just, if you look on YouTube, that's the only place the podcast is right now. Like I said, it's fairly new and small, but it's called A Discussion on Nothing. And the book is on there as well. And I think there's a link in the description for the book, but there might not be. But if I'll make sure that I'll put one in the description, I'll update it and put one in there. So there's a link in the description on that YouTube page, because that's really the easiest and most active space for sort of what I do with nothing. Well, I mean, really the most active space is sort of everywhere, but but yeah, no, I appreciate the plugs too. And you know, the Never Ever is also on YouTube as well. And we're also on Apple Music and stuff. We do have a single out right now called Colors, which is, I will tell you, I suppose, but I'll tell you after. I don't want to spoil it for everybody, because it's the ambiguity of it's really important, I think. But I'll tell you what that song's about. But that one's out, and then we've got another one coming out called Meet Life on October 13th. So Friday, I think.
Well,
or no, not Friday. When is it?
Coming up.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday.
Okay.
So
great.
Yeah. So pretty excited about it. And then, yeah, the album, we don't have a date for, or I'd say, hey, this is when this is going to come out, but just keep an eye out, you know, and follow us on like all the good medias. I guess you can't do that right now, 'cause Facebook's like down, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all good. We can all take a break from that.
Yeah. The world's spinning into chaos. Oh my God. No Facebook, no Instagram. What are we going to do?
I'm like breathing and like getting stuff done. I don't understand what's happening. No, I appreciate you, Martin. Thank you so much for having me on. And I hope we can have more discussions. This would be great to talk again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Nothing from A to Z with Daniel Murtaugh. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Which one?